know about that.
So,
Lazarchuk, but you don't want to ask him.
Yeah, right? Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
On Geeks Without God, it's time for another Geeky Boners episode. Molly's got a kit-bashing boner, hence the name of the episode. Nick likes some books, and I actually have an anti-boner. Weird.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Pew, pew, pew.
My noise made Tim go, what?
I was just like, what the hell? Okay, because I thought you were going to do the boner noise. Boing,
oh, pause. I forgot.
Clank.
Because it's a boner episode.
Boing.
That's right. We are here recording in the beautiful living room studios of Deepwood Mott.
Yes.
And we are going to talk about our latest geeky boners.
I'm hard.
You're hard.
I'm rock hard. I gotta go first, Tim.
Okay.
I'm so hard. I'm throbbing.
Molly, right. What is your boner?
I'm gazing at my boner right now. Would you two like to look at it?
I can see it.
It's a good boner.
I'm very familiar with this boner.
I think
boner.
We should put pictures of my boner on the post. But,
oh, good idea.
So, as you know, Nick and I are going to Disney World in like just a little bit of time now. And Tim's already been, and we're gonna do a whole episode later. But it's not about that. We kit bashed our phone cases to make data pads, basically, so that when we're using our phones while we are in Batu, in our amazing Disney-bounding outfits, it looks more like a data pad. Like,
right.
This is a thing people do. Kit bashing is when you take model kits, usually models, plastic models, and you break them apart and you use the bits instead of assembling like a plane or a space shuttle or a car. You glue them in random assortments to the back of something to make it look sci-fi.
It's basically how they built the spaceships in Star Wars.
It's exactly how they built the spaceships in Star Wars.
So I have on here, we have a box of random parts. And I glued them all on the case in a way that I found appealing. It includes the Universal Greebly, which is a Lego piece that we found out is in Star Wars.
So the actual Universal Greebly is from a like World War II rail-mounted artillery cannon model. And they used this one, and this one model came with like 50 of these little parts. And that little tiny part is on like everything from Imperial Star Destroyers to smaller like Jedi craft and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know when you get Lego parts that come with little gold coins, they come on that little sprue.
Yeah.
There's four to a piece. That little sprue looks almost exactly like the Universal Greebly that's used in all these Star Wars ships. So we both have that part on our phone cases as kind of like a little...
Because we're nerds.
Little wink and a nudge.
We're nerds.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this. I've actually never done miniature painting before. I have done... When I was in college, I painted scenery. And I painted props before, like using a tutorial. Like I made my star butterfly wand.
Yeah.
But that was all with a tutorial. Like explaining very carefully how to do it. And when I was in college, I had a really great professor, Troy Williamson, who would be like, here's how you marble a surface. You know, here's how you paint shadows on a thing so that it looks, you know, shaded with the lights we're going to do. But this is the first time I've ever designed something, come up with the paint scheme on my own. Nick gave me some advice. He taught me how to ink wash and how to grunge stuff up. But I did it all myself. And so I feel really proud of it. And it's making me tumescent.
Wow.
That's right. I am throbbing with the excitement of making my own thing. So, I don't know. My boner is like, there's this, I don't know, there's like this barrier. I work with a lot of miniature painters, obviously. Marvel Crisis Protocol just came out at one of our studios. Atomic Mass makes that. So everyone's been painting really dope-ass Marvel miniatures and showing them off. One of my coworkers did... He had, for Christmas break, he had 15 days off in a row, so he decided he was going to paint 150 miniatures in 15 days.
Jesus Christ.
10 a day.
Did it.
Yeah.
And they look incredible.
That's awesome.
I'm the producer on Journeys in Middle Earth, and people have painted those figs and brought them in, and they look amazing. And, like, I tried painting a figure one time at New York Toy Fair when Games Workshop had the booth next to ours, and we were so dead that I was like, I'll try. And the guy was so nice about it, and he was like, he looks, he's had a bit of an accident, hasn't he? And his face, well, his face isn't all there, is it? But you know what? Here. And he painted this perfect FFG logo on my guy's pauldron or whatever. And everyone was like, oh, this mini is weird, but I like the FFG logo. And I'm like, yeah, that's the one thing I can do. So
he just freehanded it, too.
Oh, he just freehanded it. Motherfucker. Yeah, right? So this is my first excursion into painting, and I think it came out fucking dope. Yeah. So,
I love it.
I am excited. That's my boner, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm sure the first Starter Troopers will be very impressed.
Oh, yeah, they will be. Because if they're not, I'll remind them that the Final Order is gone. Yeah.
Well, technically.
Yeah, bad takes place between Last Jedi
Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
I mean, Batu is on the fringes, which is the outer rim, which means that probably the news hasn't spread to them yet, although we did see that scene where the news sort of spread across the galaxy. But I'm going to just assume that they don't know what's up. So.
Okay. Nick.
Yeah.
What boner do you have to share with us today?
I just fucking cruised through Brandon Sanderson's Mistborn books. And I was listening to them in audio, and they were so good that it was like, I'm going to take the dog on a long walk while listening to this book. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the dishes and laundry while listening to this book. I'm going to, like, I just was listening every spare moment I had. And I finished the original trilogy, and I took a break to read the Galaxy's Edge audiobook. And now I'm back to the first book in the sequel trilogy, which takes place like 300 years after the first trilogy, and it's like a very different world.
He got me into it. I started listening to the first book. I'm not very far into it, but it's really good.
So, like, I know I have Star Wars on the brain right now, but it's a trilogy that takes place in an empire with, like, an immortal emperor. There's, like, a kind of magical system of powers that is mostly hereditary, but maybe not exclusively hereditary. There's good and evil, a light side and a dark side.
There's metal-chlorians.
There's metal. Yes, metal-chlorians.
The magicians burn metal.
Yeah, it's
like
called
actual physical metal.
Allomancy, and depending on your power, you burn a different kind of metal while ingesting it to do things like push metal away from you or pull metal towards you, or being able to tell whether or not other people are using metals and what metal they're using. And it's such a cool world, and I know, like, I'm you know, late on these books from other people mentioning them, but the magic system's super fucking cool. The action is really good and, like, kind of swashbuckly. Using the powers in fights and stuff is great. I felt like the trilogy has a satisfying conclusion that's definitely, like, the end to an epic in a very great, you know, big way.
Exciting.
But each book also has a really satisfying arc. And then this new trilogy is the same world, but so fucking wildly different that, like, if it weren't for the fact that they don't really explain how the magic stuff works, because they assume you already kind of know, you could just jump on with this next set of books and start running with it, because it's so wildly different. But so I've been talking about them a lot lately and mentioning them on Facebook and talking with them with you know, a friend and stuff. And a friend was like, oh, yeah, the Cosmere books are great. I'm like, no, well, I mean, is that what the Mistborn trilogy is called, or what's up with this? And so apparently Brandon Sanderson has this whole, like, solar system of planets that is Cosmere, or that's the star, or whatever it is. I don't know 100% because I've only read these three books, but they all take place in the same solar system or galaxy or system, whatever. And be quiet, Trisket. And
he's mad you're not petting him.
And so there's a little bit of overlap in characters or gods or something, but not a lot, obviously, because they're mostly self-contained fantasy worlds. But they I guess Sanderson's goal was he wanted to write a huge, sprawling fantasy epic, but he also didn't want people to feel like they had to read all 20 books to get the whole story. He wanted it to be very compartmentalized, like a modular books that contribute to this larger
whole. That's really
so, like, I don't even know if I want to read any of these other books. I might, like, look into them and see if they sound interesting or not. But, I mean, I'm kind of content with just reading these Mistborn books so far. But they're fucking great. I dig it. It's super solid fantasy. And, like, if you like fantasy and you like Star Wars-type stories...
I would even say, so far, I'm only about 8 chapters into the first Mistborn book, but it feels very much like Gentleman Bastards, Lives of Locke Lamora to me, in the sense that it's like, or Ocean's 11. Like, I'm putting together a specialized crew for the heist of a century. What are we going to do? We're going to overthrow a government and maybe kill a guy. Like, well, it feels very like, we got this guy, he's good at this. We got this guy, he's good at that. You know, it's...
And I would say that each book is a different type of story.
Interesting.
So one might be like more of a heist series. One might be more political. One might be more about war or something very like that. Cool. Like, they're different in that way. Yeah, they're fucking great.
It's a good boner, Nick. I like the vein on the side.
How, because it's audio. So how long does it take you to listen to one of those books?
So these books each one is longer than the last one. I think the first one's like 22 hours or something like that.
The first one is 27 hours.
Oh, is it? I think the last one
28
is
28 hours.
Okay, then they get shorter. So because the last one was like 25, I think. So yeah, Final Empire. Oh my god, this cat is 25 hours, 24 and a half hours, cool. And then 28 hours, and then 27 and a half hours. So, I mean, basically, like, more than a full work week to read through, to listen to, and I don't listen to them on, like, fast speed. I know some people do, like, 1.25 speed, but it's great, because I can do laundry while doing this. I can paint my datapad while doing this.
Hour and 15 minute commute every day is all audiobooks. Sure. Like,
when I take the dog out for a walk, you know, a couple times a day, I can pop in a headphone and listen to books while walking.
And it's the whole book, right? It's
They're on
a bridge.
They're unabridged. This particular narrator doesn't do extravagant voices for all the different characters, but there are some differences.
It's like how someone might tell you a story.
Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
And I thought the narrator was pretty great.
Yeah. So that's it's a good boner, but Tim.
What?
I want to see your boner.
Whip it out. I've got an anti-boner.
It's not just me.
Here's the thing.
Did you bring boner poison to Geeky Boners episode?
I did, but I want to explain.
A hate rection?
Just got back from Disney World.
Sure.
I know there's a shock. you two are going to Disney World in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We are going to record an episode about Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because between all of us, we will have experienced everything that Galaxy's Edge has to offer.
Fuck yeah.
Damn right.
And that would be my boner, because it's fucking amazing.
Of course.
But I don't want to spoil.
You don't want to come prematurely,
right?
Right.
So
you want everyone to come together.
To come together at Galaxy's Edge. But while we were at Disney, 3 new movies came out at Epcot.
Okay.
So they had a new movie in the movie theater that they've had at the land for years, and it's always like a nature documentary. Usually it's telling us how we're fucking up the earth. Indeed, this movie spends a lot of time talking about how awesome the earth is and then spends a little time showing us how we're fucking it up. But it's great cinematography, and 10 minutes of nature film is fine by me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nature film's dope.
And then there's a new film in Canada, which is a essentially tourist movie about Canada, except now instead of being narrated by Martin Short, it is narrated by Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara, which is way better.
Yeah,
way better.
I look forward to in 10 years when it's narrated by the people from Letterkenny.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
However, there's a new movie that is now that previewed the same day in the France Pavilion.
Oh.
It is the Beauty and the Beast sing along.
Sounds great.
That's what I'd like to talk about today.
Oh no!
It's just a movie you go watch.
I'm going to warn everybody ahead of time. I'm going to spoil the shit out of this 20-minute movie.
It's a 20-minute Beauty and the Beast sing-along.
It's not the whole movie. You don't watch all of Beauty and the Beast.
Do you sing all the songs?
Yes.
Do you sing all of all the songs?
No.
It's like that princess video we watched with the kids.
Yes. Is it animated?
It's animated. It's the original animated Beauty and the Beast. So, they actually, in Hollywood Studios, they have a Frozen sing-along show.
That's
delightful.
We didn't, that's good to know. We didn't go see it because it was very busy at the time.
It's delightful.
And also,
Frozen had just come out.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's delightful.
All right. Good to know.
I mean, if singing along isn't your thing, that's fine. You don't have to do it. But I'm saying, it is a delightful show. I didn't think I'd like it. I really enjoy it.
Cool.
So Beauty and the Beast sing along. We go to Beauty and the Beast sing along.
Yeah.
I think the original Beauty and the Beast is a great film.
And are you expecting similar to the Frozen one? Because why wouldn't you? Or do you think it's just a movie? Like, what are you expecting going in?
I'm expecting it's just a movie.
Okay.
But I think the original Beauty and the Beast has really good music overall.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
It's beautiful animation.
Yes.
It's just like, it's a really solid movie. So I'm excited about this Beauty and the Beast sing-along.
Yeah.
So here's the problems that I have with this movie, and here's why I need to bring it up. First of all, they decide to create a new story to build this sing-along around. So
that's sound of my boner going away.
So they have Mrs. Potts narrating it.
Sure. Okay. Is she still a pot?
They just don't address
the fact that she was made back to human after the curse was lifted.
Well, she's Mrs. Potts. I mean, that was her name. That's
sure.
why she turned into a teapot.
Well, of course.
Oh, I get it.
It's
of
why
course.
Lumiere turned into a can. Because, right. It's because of their names.
Right. The curse was not imaginative.
Yes. Yes. The curse was not clever at all.
The curse has a
Hogsworth
shitty sense of irony.
Yes. Literal curse.
And all the rest of them don't have names. So we don't understand. Chip turned into a chipped cup.
Right.
Better
that he was a potato chip. That would have been rough.
That would have been really tough because people would have been trying to eat him all the time. But, all right, so you get in there and she tells the story. And here's...
Just a voice.
Here's where it goes wrong.
Okay.
Right from the beginning. Because she's like, I got to tell you, everybody knows all these things about the story and how Beauty and the Beast came together and how Gaston's the villain. What they don't know is that Gaston's sidekick, LeFou, is actually the one who brought these two lovers together.
What?
that's what I'm saying. It's like the short, nerdy little white guy didn't have his own story.
Isn't he the one that they tried to claim was gay? Or there
that was
a whole...
In the live
that was
action.
In the live action.
In the live action, they were like, they made him gay or whatever.
Josh Gad,
so now,
right?
Now they're trying to make LeFou the secret good guy.
Okay.
As Pat points out as we walk out of the movie, a friend of the show and my lovely wife, Pat, points out, she's like, isn't he the guy who in the movie at one point we see him ripping the feathers out of a duster that we know is alive?
It's got sentience.
Yeah, it's a sentient feather duster, and we see him just ripping her to shreds.
Yeah.
Right. He's a literal fucking monster.
Yeah, he's the guy who's like telling Gaston how great he is, but of course, apparently that's all an act because he thinks Gaston's an asshole.
Oh, that's
so
convenient.
This really angered the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It was like, LeFou is not a good guy.
Right.
You can't make him into a good guy. And besides that, it's not this short fucking little asshole white guy's story.
Right.
You know?
Right?
Because, I mean, I realize everybody in this movie is white, but
it's France
and it's Belle's fucking story.
At At most, you could argue it's the Beast story.
A little bit,
but it's not LeFou's story.
It's not LeFou's story. It's just like, really? You decided that what would make this
What was their reasoning? I need to know. What's their reasoning?
I don't know.
Is it just a framing device?
But how did LeFou get them together? Did they even give you an answer?
Yeah, they do, and I can't even explain
it. You know who the real hero of Little Mermaid is? Flotsam and Jetsam.
Yeah. But yeah, like, that's what this is.
For real, though.
The fucking eels, they're the real hero.
I want to know, was it such a forgettable answer that you genuinely can't remember? Like, at what point did LeFou encourage Belle's father to sell her to the Beast or whatever the fuck it was?
He did encourage Belle's father. And it's like, it's just in the narration with a little bit of additional animation. But it's like, he encouraged Belle's father to go away and tricked Belle's father into taking the road to the Beast Castle.
Oh my God.
Where he knew the Beast would capture Belle's father. And if that happened, he knew Belle would follow him.
Right.
It's all this bullshit.
None of this is out of the goodness of his heart.
Belle.
It is out of the goodness of his heart because he realizes Gaston is a terrible guy and Belle needs somebody good.
Obviously, that's
like
the only
option. Like the monster in the castle.
Like the monster in the castle who's going to capture her.
I like how she has no other option.
Yeah.
Well, Gaston likes her and you know that's going to happen. So the only way she has out of this is if I could trick another monster into wanting her more.
The only way to beat a monster is with a bigger, hairier monster.
This whole LeFou story is the first thing that's wrong with it.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
The next thing that's wrong with it is, and this, okay, objectively, the best song in the movie is Belle. It's the opening song.
It's where she's talking shit about her town.
Yeah.
I sure love Be Our Guest, but I will.
Be Our Guest is a.
I'll concede your point.
Be Our Guest is a really good song, and Gaston is a really good song.
It sure is.
Because
she's walking through the town, like, face to face with the baker, being like, fuck you and your shitty rolls.
Like, always.
That Adam Ellis comic is so good.
You boring fucking motherfucker. Yeah.
It's like.
There's got to be more to life than whatever you're doing.
Yeah, this is the. I hate this town. That's what her song is. I hate this town. I want. Anything but this town.
I'd rather go home and read a book.
And everybody else is like, look at this nerdy girl reading books. What the fuck is with her? Anyway, that's the best song in the movie. So what you get to sing along for that song is getting to the point where everybody is opening their windows and going, bonjour, 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 bonjour. And then they move to the next part of the thing.
No!
They cut it right there. So the first thing they do is cut the best song
to the intro, to the prologue.
Well, everyone knows.
Yeah.
Right?
So everybody in the audience is singing along, and I have to believe that if this was a situation, if you weren't at Disney, where you were having a Beauty and the Beast sing-along, and a Beauty and the Beast sing-along masturbation session, it's like, this is the point where you're really working it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, somebody throws cold water on you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can't work it anymore.
They just showed up and they identified you as Paul Rubens.
I mean, I believe that what we can also agree to is objectively the worst song in the movie is Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's a fucking dirge.
I used to sing it to my brother and sister as a lullaby. That is the only reason it holds a special place in my heart. Yeah. But yes, it's a drag.
It's one of the reasons that I say the Oscars, as far as best song, are the ultimate bullshit.
But also because it's not a tale as old as time.
Yeah, were three songs from Beauty and the Beast nominated. Belle, objectively the best. Be Our Guest, objectively the second best.
Yeah.
And Beauty and the Beast, objectively the worst.
I would like to argue that the opening line of that song is a fucking lie. Tale as old as time. Is it?
I don't think it is.
That a woman is kidnapped and forced to undo a curse by falling in genuine love with a man?
I mean,
is that the tale as old as
that's,
time?
That's basically half of Genesis.
I feel like that is Genesis, so... I counter your argument there. But nonetheless, Beauty and the Beast, objectively the worst song in the movie.
Thing?
The only song you get all of.
Of course.
All of.
Of course.
It was the only song, by the way, that I personally refused to sing along
to. Well, it's not a fun song to sing.
Did you take a knee?
If the goal of this is to be a fun sing-along, they pick the downerest, slowest...
Yeah.
That's the song the asshole sings at karaoke to bring the room down.
It's the Edelweiss.
It's the Frozen sing-along. They now... And I think there's some really great songs in Frozen that are not Let It Go, but Let It Go is super popular and actually a really good song, and everybody loves that song. So you know what? You get to sing it twice all the way through. twice you sing the whole song.
Love it or hate it, it's a fucking anthem for the musical, and you get to belt. Yeah, and that's fun.
And it's not fucking Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's not Beauty and the Beast.
You don't even have to know it very well. Just be like, Let It Go!
There's a reference to fractals in Let It Go, for God's fucking sake. She talks about fractals. She can't even know what they are, but she sings about it.
Whoa, she can't know what they are because she's a woman?
No, because fractals weren't discovered in the era that this movie takes place.
Okay, sure.
So basically she invented fractals. Whatever. Okay, you're right.
My boner is so small, Tim. I can't take anymore.
Does this go deeper, or is that those are the layers?
It can't go deeper. My boner is never going to rise
again. But I mean, the point is, the end of this thing is you get the Beauty and the Beast song, because it is essentially the last song in the movie, and then the reprise of the Beauty and the Beast song at the end when Belle and Prince Adam are dancing. And as they're dancing, of course, the camera pans to focus on LeFou, who is the architect of all.
Sure.
Was he like watching through a window, jacking it in the bushes? Like,
Pretty much. So anyway, that's my anti-boner. I'm serious.
That's bad.
I'm angry about this movie, and I've been like careful because it just debuted at Epcot, and I don't want to spoil it.
You can't talk about it.
For other people, and I'm spoiling it for the two of you because you haven't gone there yet.
We're not gonna go.
We're not gonna.
I can tell you that right now. We're not gonna go see it.
I didn't think it was your thing. It
wasn't gonna happen, even if you were like, it's incredible.
Yeah,
I didn't think
so. I will say, we went to see my brother for his birthday, and he's got, you know, three kids and a six, and then the twins are three. And it was like, okay, we're gonna watch a couple videos before bed. And they're like, okay, we're gonna watch one of the princess videos. And I was like, oh, what's this? And they're like, oh no, it's kind of crazy. And it's this girl, young woman really, who dons 9 different Disney costumes. Some of them unfortunate, like Pocahontas and Moana.
Oh yeah.
And she's a white lady. She doesn't do skin darkening, at least, but still.
But she does put on like white
puts on the costumes.
Makeup.
Yeah.
Okay.
She puts on geisha makeup when she does the Mulan bit.
Really?
Like,
okay.
Which is.
And so but that's fine, whatever. But then she sings and it's like, do a little bit of this song, and then do a little bit, and then the characters she's already been stay on and harmonize.
Brady Bunch Squares style.
Yeah, I've seen some videos like that.
Yeah. But so every time like a song would come up, my nieces would be like, they would say the princess's name or the character's name.
Right.
Yeah, and they'd be like, and when Beauty and the Beast comes up, they're like, one of them goes Beauty, and then one goes it's Belle, like with this, like,
whoa, yeah,
like I can't believe that my twin sister is this basic of a dumbass bitch. That, like, did you just say her name was Beauty? Like,
it's the literal translation of her
name, stupid bitch.
And like, we were singing, and it was funny though, because I realized that, like, my knowledge of Disney musicals ended pretty firmly with Beauty and the Beast, because that was where the kids, my brother and sister, were little, you know, and so they were little enough. We had all the VHSs, and so I know Lion King, Aladdin, Little Mermaid, and Beauty and the Beast by heart.
Right.
And then from there, it gets sketchy. And then I'm like, I feel like I know a couple songs. And then, like, it's like, I mean, I know Let It Go. And I know, you know, the Moana song. And, like, her main, you know, paddling song. I don't know what it's called. And, like, Where I'll Go, I think, or whatever. And, like,
How Far I'll Go, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's
I'm a nerd about these things.
Right.
I apologize.
And then there's some ones where I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And, but it was, she never played any, like, male characters or any cool, like,
teapot type characters. It was always a princess. And sometimes the princess was singing a song that wasn't the princess's song. Like from Lion King, they sang the song that was just like was the random Elton John song in the credits. They didn't sing like, she didn't sing like any of the actual songs from Lion King. It was just the like, there was another one too.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Maybe that's, okay, so there was one song that.
I thought she sang Can't Wait to Be King.
No, maybe there wasn't Lion King. There was some song where like she sang the one that wasn't in the movie. It was only in the, it was. And
there's a lot of Elton John and Tarzan.
Yeah. And it was just like, and it made me think like, oh, this is the part of Disney that isn't my Disney bit. Like I love it and I like the songs and stuff and I like hearing them, but like, I'm never going to be like, you know what I need to do? I need to go and see all of the princesses.
Right.
But if we encounter them, it's like, oh shit, there's a princess. Cool, yeah. But it's almost more like street performer to street performer. Sure. And there's no way to be like, hey, just so you know, I get it. I just want you to know, I get it. Like,
so, tangentially, and we got to get to five questions.
We do.
Tangentially, there is a show at Hollywood Studios called Fantasmic. Which is a really cool show.
Oh, we love Fantasmic. We saw that. Yeah, we did the dessert. Cool, we did the dessert and Fantasmic package.
And then, but there is this point in the middle of Fantasmic where they do this Pocahontas section.
Yes,
it's super uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, isn't it kind of?
Yes, similar to when I sing the song Fever at karaoke, and there's the part where it goes, Captain John loved Pocahontas, and I'm like, okay, hold on, we need to, I'm gonna just make up words during this verse because this is really bad. It's it's just like Pocahontas.
I got done watching it this time and I'm like, you know, I like this show, but I feel like somebody needs to talk to someone and say, can we maybe not do the Pocahontas?
She was a real person.
Because
I'm pretty sure now,
so was Mulan.
I'm pretty sure now the actor that they get to play Pocahontas, the face actor, is always Native American. They've got that right.
They got that at least.
But I'm
pretty
sure.
It's the bare minimum, Tim.
I'm pretty sure none of the other people they have playing Native Americans in that bit are Native Americans.
Can a 13-year-old girl fall in love with a grown adult man? Is that a thing that we're allowing anymore?
I'm not sure.
Talk about cancel culture.
Okay, so we got to move on to five questions.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out we are still pretty short on questions.
We
have three of them, but we've gotten a few. So keep sending us more of this set. Tell us about our five questions, Molly.
Five questions from Candace Davis. She says, I just found your podcast last year and have been bouncing around the backlog. Thank you for both your sincere and ridiculous/hilarious conversations.
Yeah.
That's what we provide.
We like your listeners. I'm
that's
so
what
glad
we aim
we've
for.
Got four of them.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, serious.
Yeah.
All right, what's your question?
Candace, first question is, what is your favorite alternative to, quote, thoughts and prayers? So if someone says like, "Oh, I'm about to go into the hospital for an important operation," what might you say? And I can answer what you think.
I usually say, "Is there anything I can do to help?"
Sure, I'm a big fan of especially if it's a medical thing, which usually is when people want thoughts and prayers, right? Is saying, "Medical science has got you. You know, your surgeon has done this so many times." You know, if they're local, I'll say Minnesota's got the best medical care in the country. You know, like we...
Yeah, Mayo Clinic, y'all.
Yeah, for real. But it's like, you know, honestly, like, no matter where you are, if you're having an operation, most likely your surgeon has already done this 10 or 12 times.
Right.
And at least, if not thousands, right?
Right.
So, like, try not to worry. Science has your back. You know, like, you are in the capable hands of medical technology.
Yeah, I'm too.
Yeah.
Tots and pears.
Tots and pears.
Tots and pears.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right.
All right. Question two. I've long thought that people have to be insane to want to become president of the United States.
Fair. Hmm.
What fictional character is your dream president?
Leslie Knope.
It doesn't necessarily even have to be a fictional political character, just someone you want to see take the job.
Leslie Knope.
Leslie Knope is like the best person you could hope for to be president that would be someone that actually wants to be president.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that whole thing about, like, anyone who really wants the job is probably the wrong person for the job.
Or it has to be insane.
Or has to be insane, yeah. But I think Leslie Knope has the drive and the talent and would be a damn good president.
No, I think you're right. Although I have to pick Jed Bartlett from The West Wing. Ooh. He's like literally the best fictional president ever.
Have you ever watched that show? We should watch that show.
It is so good.
Yeah.
It is so good.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to go with Christiane Avasarala from The Expanse.
Oh.
She is, I don't want to give any spoilers. She is involved in the UN, the World UN, which is basically the governing body of Earth in this timeline, which is a couple hundred years from our future, from us future. But she is tough, fair-minded. She swears. She, in the book, she has a dedicated, loving relationship with her husband, who is a poet and has no interest in politics and just keeps her grounded. She's got two grandchildren. She really likes one of them, and the other one she's okay on, you know. And like, but she's very, you know, she's just, you get a lot of her POV chapters, and she's torn up when she has to make bad decisions, but she's able to make them. And I think that's what's key, is like, Obama had to make terrible decisions, but you knew he still felt every one of them.
Yeah.
It wasn't capricious. And I feel like we've had so many presidents where it's just been capricious, or like, they made the decision because everyone said they should make it, you know? Sure. And I think that Christiane Avasarala would be really great. Plus, she's just a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Question 3. What is your favorite place to escape to in Minnesota? Mine is Duluth / Two Harbors, just up north. I very much... One of my favorite memories in the past 5 years is Nick's mom rented a cabin up in I think a little north of Duluth. We went up on the shore there, and it was so gorgeous and isolated. And then coincidentally, it snowed like 6 inches overnight, and so it was just this perfect, still, unbroken snow.
There was pine trees.
There was a sauna. Like, I really love isolation. And I really love northern Minnesota. I went to camp at El Lago del Bosque, Lake of the Woods, up by Bemidji. And that was some of my favorite times. And just, I really like those remote rural areas. So that's me. I would go there.
I'm going to cheat a little.
Ooh.
Because it's actually Siren, Wisconsin.
You chill, fucking Scotty.
I know. It's terrible. I'm the worst.
It's like 30 minutes outside the state.
It's barely Wisconsin. But it's because that's where OmegaCon is. We've recorded from there a few times. And it's just this dopey fucking hotel, the Lodge, which, I mean, they've got like...
Pure kitsch.
It is. They've got boat motors displayed all over
animal
the place.
Horns and
animal
heads.
Animal horns, stuffed animals.
Big giant bear.
Exposed, like log cabin finish.
Yeah.
It's not actual, but like it looks like it's made of logs.
They have a sauna there too.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is, we go up there a couple of days early before OmegaCon. Sometimes we stay a day late. And I don't know, it's a nice place. There's forest all around. There's
a
lake.
It's rural Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's a lake which I often will take like an hour and go for a walk around the lake on over the weekend. It's just a really nice place to get away.
Yeah, I ran 10 miles last OmegaCon. I just ran 5 out and 5 back, and it was so great. I saw a deer. The deer was very mad because I think he thought I was chasing him. I was just running on the path. The deer kept showing up and being like, fuck, and like running away again. Like, it was great.
This is a park like from my childhood that we've gone back to as adults now and brought the dog and stuff. But the Elm Creek Park Reserve in Minnesota, it's like Maple Grove, like northwest suburbs. It's part of the Three Rivers Park District now. Mm-hmm. But they have miles and miles of paths. They have an artificial lake for swimming in if you don't mind swimming through like... So much fucking goose shit. Like, I just wouldn't swim there.
They have a crazy cross-country ski trail that you should not walk on with your dog.
They have a cross-country ski chalet. You can go, like, rent skis. And they have, you know, miles and miles of cross-country skiing stuff. And, like, you know, if you just want to have a picnic or whatever. Like, when I was, like, 12 or 13, that was within biking distance of where I kind of grew up before moving to Minneapolis. And me and my friends used to bike out into the park and, like, eat wild rhubarb or drag a park bench a half a mile off the trail up to have our own secret, you know,
rhubarb eating spot
to, like, you know, make Dungeons and Dragons characters or whatever the fuck. Actually, it was worth
edgy.
Yeah. But it's a great park. It's a nice place. It's good for dogs or people or whatever. And they have a nature educational lodge where they have, you know, animals from that you'd find in the park, like snakes and whatever. Like, I had a friend in middle school that used to feed the snakes there as his volunteer hours for Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And so they have, you know, there's some educational stuff and lots of activities, but it's a dope park.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice answer.
Woo.
All right.
Question four.
What is your favorite thing to do on a Sunday when many times the crowds are lighter due to churchgoers?
I like to go to movies. It's a day I usually try to keep plan free, and like a new release movie, you can still get into a theater
in the middle
of the day, and it's not usually super crowded. So I like to go to movies on Sunday.
Cheaper sometimes too.
Yeah.
I like to go grocery shopping. In fact,
madness.
The Super Bowl is one of my favorite times to go grocery shopping, like when it's happening, because no one's there. And you're like, look at all the groceries there are for me, and no one's here, and I can take my time. But yeah, grocery shopping or Target on a Sunday when the problem with going to a Target on Sunday is they haven't restocked yet. That's their restock day. So you tend to have empty shelves. But yeah, I'm a big fan. I usually go running too, but running is something it's never busy, you know? But like, that's my favorite thing.
I like, Molly and I have somewhat of a tradition, I guess, of Sundate.
Yep.
Where we will, oh my God, shut up, Trisket. We will maybe get up a little early, take the dog to the dog park.
Dog park.
Get a donut at this fancy-ass donut place that's kind of near the dog park here. And then, you know, make our way home, maybe get coffee on the way. And that's like a nice morning. Get the dog out, get her tired for the rest of the day so we can have like a more relaxed Sunday, get a tasty donut and some coffee. Mm-hmm. It's pretty great.
It's a good one. Yeah.
And it's not church.
No.
And it's certainly not church. It's
certainly not. All right, finally, question five. What would you choose as a familiar? I will note, Candace did not say what animal. What would you choose as a familiar?
I would still choose a cat.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm a cat person. I cannot deny
that
it's like having a cat just that hangs out and...
Yeah. And I thought about this with because we were watching His Dark Materials on HBO, and in that world, every human has a demon,
right,
which is like the outward manifestation of yourself and your soul in a way, but it takes an animal form. And I feel like mine would probably be a dog that could keep up with me running. Not like a little dog, but like a dog that could run with me. And just in general, I love cats. I'm not a blank person, like one or the other, but I feel like if I was going to have a familiar, it would be a dog. Just that go with me everywhere, kind of an animal.
Raccoon? Because they're like roly-poly.
Yeah.
But they're also, and they eat trash, but they're also, you know, they're nibble and they can climb things. And they have those little articulate hands. Like having a raccoon familiar, you could be like, go flip this switch for me, and it would be able to like maybe do that or type a few keys on a keyboard.
I almost went with ferret because I thought they would just perch on my shoulder while I ran. And you could
sneak them in places.
And also, they are very sneaky. Yeah. I was so close to ferret.
Ferret is like the stealth familiar.
Yeah, that's true. And they can be trained to steal diamonds. Everyone knows this.
Everyone knows this.
It's just a fact.
But I think raccoon.
All right.
Those are all good choices.
That's it?
All right.
Thanks, Candace.
Yeah, thanks for your five questions. Reminder, you can send in your five questions, any five questions that you want, and we will answer them on our podcast, and you will hear them, and you'll be like, I am famous to whoever listens to this podcast. Which, you know, is you. Is you.
I'll have you know I occasionally get recognized in grocery stores.
Whoa!
But only when they hear me.
I did not get recognized at Disney World.
I usually get, oh, Jesus, are you Molly Glover?
You're like, Jesus, no.
Oh, no, it's Molly Glover.
Oh, no.
Okay, so send us those 5 questions. Support us on Patreon. You can listen to these episodes early.
Very true.
You'll be able to hear our episode about Galaxy's Edge so much earlier. If you support us for $2 on
Patreon.
For
sure.
Otherwise, you can just do a review on iTunes. That would be great.
We'd love it.
We don't get those too often anymore.
Yeah.
So
even though we continue to bring you stellar 5-star quality.
5-star quality podcasting.
That's a star per question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for listening. We will catch you when we do this same podcast next week.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm serious. LeFou is the hero? God, fuck that fucking movie.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
He's like, I need a photo of each of you with the pet.